بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We continue reading from the work of Al-Imam Abd al-Ghani al-Maqdisi rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 600 after the Hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His work, Umdatul Ahkam, clarifying the legislative rulings and the actions of the deen, how to perform them, by mentioning the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, studying the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and reading his hadith. In reading his hadith and discussing the affairs that the people have knowledge have mentioned with regards to these narrations and the rulings that have been derived and the understanding that has been taken from the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have been reading in the chapter Bab Sujud al-Sahwi, the chapter with regards to the clarification of the rulings of the prostration of forgetfulness. In our previous class, we discussed some issues with regards to the differences of opinion, and we have seen how the ulama, they deal with these affairs with knowledge and wisdom and striving and with justice and with truth and sincerity, and all of them hoping to obtain the truth and to be in accordance with that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to be in accordance to that which was revealed to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the complete legislation, al-Sharia, al-Islamiyya, that was revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was the effort of all of them and the hopes of all of them. And we've seen that, just as is the case with every human being, sometimes they are correct and sometimes they are not. So seeing and a glimpse of this and an example of this, now we proceed on our way. And instead of going through every detail and every issue, mentioning all these differences in the lights like this, we learn the foundations and the fundamentals. And we learn the ruling that is apparent from the narration, whether it was a statement of Abu Hanifa, or it was a statement of Al-Imam Malik, or it was a statement of Al-Imam Shafi'i, or it was a statement of Al-Imam Ahmed, or whether they all agreed about that or they disagreed, without looking to the statement of any of the people, but rather looking to the evidence, in the book and in the sunnah. And this is the affair, returning the issue back to the Quran and to the sunnah. So we have seen with regards to where the prostration should be, the strongest position, and Allah knows best, is that whenever there is an increase in the prayer, somebody, he added an additional part of the prayer, a rak'ah or a pillar and the likes, then he will prostrate after he makes salam. And if he were to be short in the prayer and not perform something like the tashahud al-awwal, for example, and his prayer was short, then he will prostrate before the salam. And then in the case of doubting, if he was doubtful about his prayer and then he was able to look at the circumstances that he's in and realize that one of the issues that he's doubting about is more probable and most likely, he'll follow that. يتحرى الصواب. He will strive to look at his situation where he's at and determine which one is most correct. And if he has غلبت الظن, it has overcome his thought that this is correct. If he was doubting, for example, 3 or 4, and then he looked at his situation, no, it's 4. And he would go with that. And then now at this time, he'll prostrate after a salam. But if he were to doubt, and he did not know at all, he's not able to determine at all which one is correct. He has no manner to determine whether it was 3 or whether it was 4 or whatever the case may be. At this time, he'll leave the doubt. He will leave the doubt and he will not be busy with that, and he will build based upon certainty, which is the lowest number, and then he will make sujood before he makes salam. then he'll make sujood before he makes salam. All of these issues here have come with narrations, we will read them. But just to briefly review, the sujood as-sahu will be because of three reasons, either a ziyada, or a naqs, or a shak. A ziyada is an addition in the prayer, an additional pillar, or an additional rak'ah, and the likes like this, or he'll add something to the prayer that's an addition to it, an additional salam, for example. And then this is called ziyada, an increase in the prayer. Or it will be because of deficiency, a naqs, deficiency. He will leave off something he's supposed to bring, like the tashahud al-awwal, for example, as we have seen in the hadith of Ibn Buhayna, radiallahu anhumah. Or it will be because of doubting, because of shirk, because of doubting. He's doubting in the prayer. So these are the three reasons for the sujood as-sahu. Now we discuss some of the details with regards to sujood as-sahu. First, we have to determine when it will be performed, and which or what actions necessitate sujood as-sahu. For example, if somebody forgot to raise his hands when he raised from ruku', for example. He forgot to raise his hands. Would he make sujood as-sahu here for leaving off a sunnah? The people of knowledge, they differed about this, and what is most correct, and Allah knows best, is he would not make sujood as-sahu for this. Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that it's sunnah, yusan lahu, that it's recommended for him, but not obligatory. But not obligatory. If he were to do something like this, if he were to leave off one of the sunan of the prayer, that it's recommended for him. But Allah knows best, it's not recommended. He would not make sujood as-sahu for leaving off something from the sunan. That's not obligatory. And they agreed it's not obligatory, because he left something that if he left it, the prayer is fine. It's allowed for him to leave it. If he left it on purpose and did not raise his hands on purpose, it would not invalidate the prayer. His prayer would be fine. So therefore they say that it would be a sunnah. Some of the people of knowledge, and Allah knows best, that it's not sunnah, and he will not make sujood as-sahu for this. Also similarly, if a person, for example, he brought one of the statements that are from the wajibat in the wrong place, along with bringing the dhikr that's required in that place, would he make sujood as-sahu now? For example, in ruku', he said, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la in ruku'. But then he caught himself and he said, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. So he brought the dhikr that's required and he fulfilled the obligation, but he slipped out of forgetfulness and he said the wrong dhikr in the wrong place. So here he brought a legislated statement that's legislated from the statements of the salah in the wrong place. So should he make sujood as-sahu now? Again, the similar situation. The people of knowledge, they differed, but wallahu alam, it is not legislated. It's not legislated. The most that it would be, or the people of knowledge have mentioned, the most that it could be is a sunnah. It's not obligatory for sure. Some have mentioned that it's sunnah because he brought a legislated dhikr in a place that's not required, along with bringing the proper dhikr in that place. So therefore, because he did that out of forgetfulness, he will make sujood as-sahu. But others, they mention that that's not the case, because this dhikr here, this statement here, if he said it intentionally in the prayer, it will not invalidate the prayer, because it's from the statements of the prayer. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la is from the statements of the prayer. It's from the actions of the salah. So because he brought it in the wrong place, along with bringing the obligation of that place, he will not make sujood. There's nothing upon him. He brought what is obligatory. And Allah knows best. So from here we understand that Allah knows best is not legislated to make sujood as-sahu for leaving off a sunnah, nor for making the wrong dhikr in the place, for example, in sujood or in ruku' or in the jilsa, rabbi gfirli, instead of saying rabbi gfirli, he read the Quran, for example. He slipped and started reading the Fatiha, for example. He slipped. And then he caught himself and said, Rabbi kfili, Rabbi kfili. So he caught himself. So at this time, likewise, because he brought the dhikr that's required, and he made a statement that's from the statements of the prayer in the first place, if he made that statement, he will not invalidate the prayer. And if he did it intentionally, then at this time, he will not make sujood. If he made a statement that's not from the statements of the prayer on accident, are we differentiating with these issues here that come? They're pretty detailed. You have to pay attention. Now he makes a statement that's not from the statements of the prayer. For example, he's praying and he slips his mind. He said, "Bring me some water." He's thirsty. He said, "Bring me some water." Or see somebody, watch out. Or hand me the phone. All of a sudden in his mind, he slips and he spoke to somebody. Or he said something. His mind slipped and he said something from the affairs of the dunya. Not from the statements of the prayer. Now he will make sujood the sahw. Because he brought a statement that if he had brought it intentionally, it would invalidate the prayer. The difference here is because the one who says Subhana Rabbil A'la in the wrong place, for example, this is a statement that does not invalidate the prayer. If somebody said it intentionally, it's from the statements of the prayer. So then he would not, along with bringing what is required in the proper place, he does not have to make sujood the sahw. But as for the one who brought a statement outside of the prayer, it's not from the actions of the prayer, the statements of the prayer at all, on accident, he did it forgetfully. Now, this statement here, if he said it on purpose, it would invalidate his prayer. If he's in the prayer and he intentionally said, "Bring me some water," what would happen to his prayer? His prayer is invalidated if he spoke on purpose. If he spoke on purpose. So therefore, since he said this statement in this manner, on accident, now he will make sujood the sahw. Now he will make sujood the sahw. We understand the first issue? Okay, the next issue. When is it obligatory now? When will it be obligatory now?
I'm sorry. I'm go back to the previous one. What if the person is, like many of the people, sometimes when they sneeze, they say Subhanallah and end the salah, but they're not supposed to say that.
Alhamdulillah.
End the salah.
You say Alhamdulillah. Some of the people of knowledge, they mention it's okay to do that, and others they mention that it's not. That if someone sneezed, it's okay to say Alhamdulillah, because in general, Alhamdulillah is a dhikr. It's a dhikr in the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But wallahu a'lam, it's not a place for that. But some people have not as mentioned that it's allowed. But definitely you would not tell him, Yarhamukallah. And that has come in the hadith of Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam. We have taken that narration before in Sahih Muslim, that somebody sneezed and then he said out loud, Yarhamukallah, like this, and the prophets and the companions, they're slapping their thighs to tell him to be quiet. And he's, what are y'all looking at me for? Finally, he was quiet. In the end, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pulled him to a side and he said that the prayer is, there's only recitation of the Quran and the remembrance of Allah. And there's no place for the statements of the people in the prayer. So, this is the case. But some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned if he sneezed, he would say Alhamdulillah to himself. And others mentioned that he would not say that. Wallahu a'lam, I wouldn't say it. Now,
it's invalid as in
if you say the prayer is invalid, that means the prayer is invalid. He has to start all over. Like, if the prayer is invalid, it cannot be rectified. No. The prayer is finished. You can't fix it. If the you mean when he talked?
He's left after.
That prayer is finished. Mm-hmm.
Starting to pray again, and then he does two sessions at the end of that prayer.
No, he'll start over from the beginning. Meaning, when we say his prayer is invalidated, we're going back to the issue whenever he talked on purpose, for example. He talked on purpose. He just told somebody, "Bring me some water. Bring me some water." Like that. If he talked on purpose, "Bring me some water," in the prayer. "How you doing?" He answered his phone. "I'm in prayer. I'll call you back." Like this, for example. If somebody did that, his prayer is invalid. His prayer is invalid. And he can't speaking any in the statements that's not from the prayer. His prayer is invalid. What does it mean by his prayer is invalid? And his salatuhu batila, fasida, meaning it does not count. Anything from there on is finished. He's not praying no more. So now he has to start over. There's no way to fix that. So he'll just start over again from the beginning. And he has a whole new prayer, a whole new opportunity to rectify the situation. So he doesn't have to do any sujood in that new prayer unless he did something that required that. You good?
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. We good? Okay, so we go back to the issue, the question. What is the question? When is it obligatory to make sujood as-sahw? When is it obligatory to make sujood as-sahw? The people that say, عند قيام أسبابه, whenever the reasons are established. And this is whenever someone will increase, for example, We seen the increase or the decrease or the doubt. We talk about the increase. Before that, we talk about the issue that is obligatory. Whenever the reason for the sujood sahu is present, it's obligatory. It's obligatory to make the sujood. I mean, it's an obligation from the, it becomes an obligation from the obligations of the sabah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud in Sahih Muslim, إِذَا نَسِيَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْجُدْ سَجْدَتَيْنِ. إِذَا نَسِيَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْجُدْ سَجْدَتَيْنِ. If one of you forgets, meaning in the prayer, then he must pray. Then he must prostrate to pray. فَلْيَسْجُدْ. This is a command. This is a command. And the origin with the command is that it is an obligation. فَلْيَسْجُدْ سَجْدَتَيْنِ. So from here we see that the sujood as-sahw is an obligation. Is an obligation whenever the reason occurs, whenever the reason is established. So now we talk about the reasons that would necessitate or require the sujood as-sahw. First, we talk about ziyada. What does ziyada mean?
Extra.
We learn vocabulary too, huh? Addition. Extra, making an addition, adding something to the prayer. What does it mean by ziyada? Ziyada li fi'lin min jins as-salah. To add an action that's from the actions of the prayer, like a rukun or a wajib. To add an action from the actions of the prayer, like an action, because to exclude the statement, Rabbi la hada, subhana rabbi, because we talked about that, right? We already talked about that. That one's done. Sah? If we put that in the wrong place. If we added one of those, for example, he said, subhana rabbi la hada, subhana rabbi la hada. He's in ruku'. Then he remembers. And then he says, he fixed it, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. He increased in the prayer, sah? Now this one is not considered here. That's why we began with that. We get this one, we understand that. This one is not considered because that statement, if he said it intentionally in the prayer, it does not invalidate the prayer. Okay, we finished with that one. Okay, the ziyada here with the actions. Ziyada to fi'lin, to add an additional action from a pillar. And whether he added a whole rak'ah, or he added a pillar, or he added a wajib from the actions of the prayer. From the actions of the prayer, then this requires for him to make sujood as-sahw. This requires from him to make sujood as-sahw. So if somebody, for example, he added a sujood, he's in sujood, he made two sujood, and then he made a third sujood, and then he made a third sujood. There's an additional sujood here, sah? Uh-huh. What does he do? What does he do? If he remembers when he's in the sujood, he has to leave it immediately. He made two sujood, then he made the third sujood. In the middle of the third sujood, he said, oh, subhanAllah, this is the third sujood. I already made two sujood. Now he has to leave it immediately. He has to leave it immediately and go back to the place where he was at without saying takbir. Without saying takbir. If he said takbir, this is addition. Right, he goes back to the place that he was at. Like for example, he's supposed to make two sujood and then sit into the jilsa and make the shahud. Instead of making two, he made three. So the third one, he leaves it. As soon as he remembers that it's extra, he leaves it. And then he goes to the place he's supposed to be at. And then he finishes his prayer. He goes to the place he's supposed to be at without making takbir, and then he will make sujood when? After the salam. After the salam, because he made an addition. Naam.
Okay, how about same thing, but you do one sujood instead of two, and he doesn't remember.
Now it's his doubt. We gotta follow them. Right now, what are we talking about?
Ziyada.
Let's try to stay focused. Ziyada. There's a lot that we have a lot of the issues to discuss. Ziyada. Inshallah, we're gonna try to cover as much of them as we can. بإذن الله تعالى, and we ask Allah to help us. So if somebody, he made an addition, he added to the prayer, and he realized that it's an addition during that, while he's doing that, what does he do? He leaves it immediately. Does he say takbir?
No,
he doesn't go to it. He doesn't say takbir. He leaves it immediately without saying takbir, and then he goes to the place he's supposed to be, and he finishes prayer properly, and then he makes a judah salam
after the salam.
Now, this is the case. It's been narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, that he said, "Salla bina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam khamsan." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed with us one day 5 rak'ah. He prayed with us one day 5 rak'ah. How many are supposed to pray?
Four.
Salla bina khamsan. Falamman fatala tawashwash al-qawm baynahum. And whenever he stopped, or whenever he finished, meaning he turned, and fatala, yani and sarafa. Whenever he turned around, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tawashwash al-qawm, the people started talking amongst themselves. فَقَالَ مَا شَأْنُكُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what are you talking about? قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ هَلْ زِيدَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. So they said, O Messenger of Allah, has the an addition been made in the prayer? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, قَالَ لَا. He said, no. قَالُوا فَإِنَّكَ قَدْ صَلَيْتَ خَمْسًا. He said, verily you have prayed 5. Verily you have prayed 5. فَانْفَتَلَ ثُمَّ سَجِدَ سَجْدَتَيْنِ ثُمَّ سَلَّمَ. So he turned around again, and he facing the Qibla, and this time he's in the congregation with them, in front of them. And he turned around, and they said, what happened? And they said, he prayed 5, and I prayed five, and then he turned back around, and now he prayed, he made 2 sajda, ثُمَّ سَلَّمَ. He made 2 sajda, and then he made the salam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he said, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشُرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ أَنْسَكَ مَا تَنْسَوْنَ فَإِذَا نَسِيَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْجُدْ سَجْدَتَيْنِ. فَلْيَسْجُدْ سَجْدَتَيْنِ. He said that verily I'm a human being like you, and if I forget, that just as you forget. And if one of you forgets, then let him prostrate the 2 prostration. Let him prostrate the two prostration. So here we have the example of the one who forgot, but he did not remember until after the prayer. So the situation we took before, the one who remembered during the prayer, we see what he does. He leaves it, and he goes to the position that he was supposed to be in without making takbir, and then he makes sujood after salam. If a person, he had an addition in the prayer, and he did not realize until the prayer is done, then he will make sujood sahu. Then he will make sujood sahu. He finds out after the prayer is done, he added. Then he'll make sujood sahu, and then he'll make salam. So from the benefits of this narration and this situation here, that the one who added something, here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he added a whole rak'ah, out of forgetfulness. It does not invalidate the prayer. It does not invalidate. He doesn't have to start over. He will fix that by making sujood sahw. And this is the case of adding anything. The Prophet, he added a whole rak'ah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So similar like that, anybody who added anything, whether it was a whole rak'ah or a rukn or one of the wajibat from the actions of the prayer, the ruling is the same. So it doesn't invalidate that. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he added the whole rak'ah, and he several pillars, and he only made the prostration 2. So therefore, again, we see that if there's more than one forgetfulness in the prayer, or more than one reason for prostration of forgetfulness, what will suffice for all of them is the 2. It's the 2 sujood. 2 sujood is sahw. And also, This hadith is a proof for the one who has an increase in their prayer, that when does he make sujood? After the salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here he made it clearly. After the salam. After the salam.
So if you start the fifth rak'ah, an additional rak'ah, in the middle of it you remember, you finish that particular
rak'ah? No, that's what we just discussed.
The issue
that we began with, somebody who remembered, he did an additional pillar. For example, he added a fifth rak'ah. Or he added an extra sujood. That was our example last time, right? He added an extra sujood. He made 2 sujood and then he went to make 3. So now he realized that this is extra. If you realize that you're making something extra in the prayer, doing something that you already did, you're not supposed to do. If you realize that while you're performing that extra portion, you leave it immediately, without making takbir, and you go to the place you're supposed to be. For example, if somebody here, he prayed 4, and then he stood up to 5. And then he started, after he's in the fifth rak'ah, he remembers, oh man, maybe he started the Fatiha, for example. And then he remembers, oh, I already made the fourth rak'ah. This is the fifth rak'ah. Now whenever he remembers, it's an obligation upon him to go back. He'll go down without making takbir. If he was already made tashahud before he stood up for the fifth one, then he will not make tashahud again. If he didn't make the tashahud before he stood up for the fifth one, then he will make the tashahud, and then he will make the salam, and then he will make sujood sahw after the salam. You understand?
So he goes right back to city.
He goes right back to the, he made the fourth rakah. And he's in the fourth rakah, sitting down. And then he stands up for the fifth rakah. So here we have two situations. Whenever he stood up, either he stood up from making tashahud, or he stood up from not making tashahud. Right? If he stood up from making tashahud, then when he realizes, he goes straight back down and he doesn't make tashahud again. He already made tashahud. So he'll go straight back down. He will finish the prayer. If he didn't make the tahiyyat, salat al-Ibrahimiyyah, for example, he would do that. If he didn't do that, he would do that. If he did that, he would leave that and he would make the taslim, and then he would make sujood after that. If he didn't make the tashahud and he didn't make the salawat al-Ibrahimiyyah, then he'll bring that. You understand? And then he'll make the salam and then he'll make sujood. If he did bring it, he doesn't bring it again. You understand? You with me? On the fifth. In any case, remember whenever we say this, that we're talking about which one is most virtuous. The best is to do it after. Yes, if there's an increase, you make the sujood. If you add to the prayer, you always make the sujood after. What was the wisdom behind that? Aywa? So you don't have two additions to the prayer. Somebody already added it to the prayer. Mm-hmm. So to avoid adding two, another addition to the prayer, you make the salam first and then make the sujood after. This was the position of Imam Malik. So this is the case. So anytime there's an addition in the prayer, he'll make salam first and then make sujood, as-sahu, after the prayer. And the wisdom behind that is because if we look at all of the times the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made sujood as-sahu after the salam, it's because there's an addition in the prayer. And then plus he found this wisdom also along with that. So he has evidence from the sunnah and he has an evidence from the wisdom, the hikmah. We understand that? But what if he made sujood before? We talked about this yesterday. The point was that it doesn't matter if he made it, they all agreed. If he made sujood before or if he made sujood after, it's all good. His prayer is correct. You can make it before all the time. He can make it after all the time. And the prayer is correct. Either way. You understand that? But what we're talking about now, what is most virtuous? What is best? So we're going to, from this dars on, when we talk about sujood as-sahw, we're just going to refer to that which is most proper, that which is best. So therefore we say in here, he added to the prayer. So what does he do? He makes sujood as-sahw after salam. After salam. We good? Uh-huh. Okay. So likewise in the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu in our chapter that we're studying, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed either Dhuhr or Asr, and he prayed two rak'ah and then he made salam. And then he was informed that his prayer was short, so he came back sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he finished the two rak'ah that he missed, and then he made salam. And then he made sujood as-sahw after the salam. And then he made salam. Then he made the salam after that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We understand this? So here, is the prayer short or is there naqs or ziyadah in the prayer? It's short. This is an important point that people of knowledge mention, especially the Malikiyah. Yani this is a ziyadah fi surat al-naqs. There's an addition in the prayer, but it appears that there's deficiency. In reality, there's an addition. Where's the addition at? The salam. There's an additional salam because he said assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, and after two rak'ah. So now he came back and he finished the two rak'ah that he missed, and he made salam again. So therefore, there's an addition in the prayer. What is it? The salam. So it appears that it's deficient, and it's deficient originally, but whenever he brought it, it's required for him to bring another salam. So he added a salam to the first. So here this is an addition. So this is an evidence for the position that we're following. You understand? So the Prophet, he made a sujood after salam because there's an addition in it. And this example here, the addition is what? The salam, the taslim, the taslim. Naam. So this is the case here. So here we have the example of one who made an additional rak'ah, and he didn't realize till after he's finished. What does he do? Huh? He makes two sujood. He makes two sujood as salam. When? After the, and he already made salam, right? So it's definitely this one is after the salam. But what he'll do, he'll turn around and he'll make two sujood as salam. Well, but what about if he didn't remember till, like for example, he gets out to the car? Oh, what if he didn't remember till a bit later? And what if he didn't, it was some time before he remembered. So now there's another issue. And clearly if he remembered, like in the hadith Ibn Mas'ud, he remembered right away. But in the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got up and he went to the front of the masjid. And he was angry he seemed angry sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then Dhul Yadayn went and talked to him. Some people, they left and went outside, the prayers shortened, and then he talked to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet came back and then talked to them, and then he realized that it was short, then he made he fixed the two, and then he made sujood as-sahw. So here we have a bit of time, sah? It's not like immediately. So here the people are not, as I mentioned, and we also have movement. And we also have movement and talking. And all of these things, they do not invalidate the prayer. What would invalidate it? Some people have not as mentioned if the time is very long. If it's a real long time before he remembered. But even some of the people are not, like Ibn Baz, he mentioned it doesn't matter how long it was. If you remember, you bring it. But the people of not, likewise, they mentioned so long as he didn't make a hadith. Because the hadith would invalidate that. And if he did that, then his prayer is good. And if he forgot entirely, or he forgot a long time later and then he remembered, or if he didn't remember until after he made a hadith. For example, he went to the restroom at Ramakumullah or something like that, then his prayer is fine and he's excused. He's excused. But if, for example, he got to his car and then he remembered, he'll come back inside and he'll make sujood as-sahw. He'll make sujood as-sahw. Some people of knowledge, they mentioned, well, if he leaves the masjid, then that's too far. But we have another narration from the narration of Imran ibn Hussein. It's in Sahih Muslim. The last narration of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was in Bukhari and Muslim. The next narration, this is in Sahih Muslim from Imran ibn Hussein. These are from the most important narrations with regards to sujood as-sahw. The hadith of Abi Hurairah and the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and the hadith of Imran ibn Hussein and the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri. There's two from Ibn Mas'ud. We read them, inshallah. So now we have the hadith Imran ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu. He says, "Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam salli al-asr fa sallama fi thalathi raka'at." Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed asr and he made salam in three raka'ah. How many is he supposed to make? Four. So he's short, right? Huh? Initially, sah, he made salam after three rak'ah. So it says, ثُمَّ دَخَلَ مَنْزِلَهُ, and then he entered his house. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he entered his house. فَقَامَ إِلَيْهِ رَجُلٌ يُقَالُ لَهُ الْخِرْبَاقُ وَكَانَ فِي يَدَيْهِ طُولٌ. And a man, he went to him, his name is الْخِرْبَاقُ, and he had long hands. And it's mentioned, this is a whole different story. In the one of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, it was either Dhuhr or Asr, and he stood up after. He made salam after two. Here, we have his Asr for sure, and he made salam after three. So it's a different situation, but the one who informed him both times is the same person. The one who informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam both times is the same person, Dhul Yadayn. His name is Al-Khirbaq ibn Amr radiallahu anhu. He says, Al-Khirbaq, he went to him, فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَذَكَرَ لَهُ صَنِيَعُهُ. Dhul Yadayn, he went to the Prophet in his home sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him what happened. وَخَرَجَ غَضْبَانُ يُجُرُ رِدَاءُهُ حَتَّى انْتَهَى لِلنَّاسِ فَقَالَ أَصَّدَقَ هَذَا قَالُوا نَعَمْ فَصَلَّ رَكَّةً ثُمَّ سَلَّمَ ثُمَّ سَجَدَ سَجْدَتَيْنِ ثُمَّ سَلَّمَ. So here, Dhul Yadayn, he informed him again in his house this time sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet, he came out upset, dragging his rida. The rida is the upper garment. He came out dragging that. Yani quickly until he got to the people, and then he prayed with them one rak'ah, and then he made salam, and then he made sujood as-sahw, two sajda, and then he made salam again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here we have several benefits from this narration. The first one is that, again, the Prophet added to the prayer. What did he add?
Salam.
He made salam after three. So then he came and brought another rak'ah. He made salam again. So he added this salam. The salam after the three is not supposed to be there. That's addition. The ziyadah. So this is the evidence again for the one who has a ziyadah in the prayer. He makes taslim after salam. The Prophet came back. He made one rak'ah. And then he made salam. And then he made sujood as-sahu. And then he made salam again. So the sujood as-sahu is after salam. Because this is ziyadah. The wisdom behind that? Because he already added the salam. So to not add anything else that's not originally from the prayer, you make it after the salam. And Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. Also from the wisdom, the benefit of this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered his home. He left the masjid, clearly. He left the masjid clearly and he came back and he fixed that. And he built upon his prayer and he made the sujood as-sahu. And he made the sujood as-sahu. So similarly like that, the person who, even if he left the masjid, so long as he did not make a hadith, he did not pass gas or use the restroom and the light, break his wudu, and the lights like that, and the time wasn't extremely long, then he will come back and he will rectify that. He will rectify that. Even if he talked, and he believing that his prayer is finished, and the lights like this, and he will make sujood as-sahu. We understand that? So even some of the people of knowledge, like Shaykh Ibn Baz, like I said, even if it's a long time, he didn't remember until he got home and then somebody called him, I think you prayed five rak'ah, or you prayed extra, or the lights like this. Maybe he's seen him praying sunnah, for example. I think that you prayed an extra rak'ah, or you forgot this, or you forgot that. Then he will bring that and fix that even in his house, even if it's later, and Allah knows best. And then he'll make sujood as-sahu. If it's not a long time, to build on the prayer, definitely if it's not a long time. But the sujood as-sahu, this is the one that Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentioned that you can do it even if it's a long time. And he forgot to make sujood as-sahu. Then he could do that even if it was a long period. As for building on the prayer, then definitely if it's a long time, you have to pray again. If he waited a long time and he had to build on his prayer, for example, he stood up after three, he's supposed to pray four. Now, if it's a long period, then he can't build on his prayer. He can't, if it's a long period of time, he all the way till he gets home, he's going to have to start over. He would have to start over and repeat the prayer again. I want to make that clear. Maybe I mixed the issue up here. It's clear, huh? This issue here, the difference between the one who forgot to make sujood as-sahu alone and the difference between the one who has to make up a portion of his prayer and sujood as-sahu. So to build on the prayer that you had before, then the distance between the time one remembers and rectifies that cannot be a long period. And the people say a long period according to the custom of the people. If somebody considered it a long period, or a long period, for example, he got all the way to the car and he's halfway home, so then he would just get home and he will start over and re-pray the prayer. But if he, for example, got to the door or he got right outside and he remembered, he'd come back inside real quick and he can build on the prayer that he had before and make the rak'ah up that he missed and then make sujood as-sahu. We understand that? As for somebody who prayed five, for example, and he forgot to make the sujood as-sahu, or he didn't know until he got home, then he can make sujood as-sahu, inshallah, and he should do that even if the time is long. And Allah knows best. Uh-huh.
The imam himself. He's not in the masjid no more. He's somewhere else.
Yeah. If he has to make up a rak'ah, he prayed three. He's supposed to pray four, and he didn't remember until generally what is considered a long time. No, he will repeat the whole prayer.
What about the mu'min?
And they let him go too. They say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. All of them didn't realize until later. Nobody realized. Wallahu alam. If they didn't, then he would inform them. He should inform them and tell them, if, for example, he didn't tell them until that was at Dhuhr. Then he told them in Asr. By the way, in Asr, we only prayed three. I'm sure you guys didn't realize. It's too late. You need to pray Dhuhr again. Because you didn't pray Dhuhr. Right? It's too long. like this, they have to repray it. They have to repray it, and Allah knows best. Okay, so we understand the ziyada in general. He added something to the prayer. We'll take another example. Who has an example? An addition in the prayer. We had additional sajda. For example, if he sat down for the tashahud in the third rakah. Like that. For example, he prayed two rakah, he made tashahud, he stood up and he sat down for the third rakah. In the third rakah of Dhuhr or Asr, for example, and he made tashahud again. Like by the middle of the tashahud, he remembers, oh man, this is the third rakah. What does he do? He get up without takbir because he's in the third rakah. He's not supposed to be sitting there in the first place. So he stands up and he goes to the fourth rakah. He stands up and goes to the fourth rakah. The sujood after taslim, that's where we want to get to. Ahsant, because he added the tashahud. What about this situation here, the people of knowledge? They mentioned that he was in the increase. Like, for example, here we have the increases to tashahud. He added to tashahud. It's not supposed to be there. He realized that, this is extra. I'm not supposed to be here. Can he just keep doing it?
No.
What happens to his prayer if he just keeps doing it anyways? And he knows that it's additional. This would invalidate his prayer. Because he's adding an addition to his prayer while he knows. Adding something to it while he knows, this is not permissible. This would invalidate the prayer. So it's an obligation for him to leave it and to go to the place he's supposed to be. So we've seen somebody, if he added something to the prayer, if he stood up for the fifth rakah and dhuhr, and he remembered during that, he'll leave it immediately. He'll go back down without making takbir. If he stood up for the fifth rakah in dhuhr, or he stood up in the third rakah of fajr, for a third rakah in fajr, or a fourth rakah in maghrib, for example, and he realized when he's standing, it's an obligation now for him to go down, to leave that immediately. He can't continue. If he continued while he knows it's an addition, and he's aware of the ruling, this invalidates the prayer, because he's adding something to the prayer intentionally. That's not from the prayer. This is not accepted. Whoever does something not in accordance to our affair, then it's rejected. Here he did it on tensions with knowledge. So therefore it would be rejected. So what is obligatory for him to do is to leave it immediately. The one who added the rakah, at this time he doesn't make takbir. He goes down to the sitting position. If he already made the shahud before, he doesn't make it again. If he didn't make the shahud before, he stood up for the extra, he makes it. And he'll finish his prayer, make taslim, make sujood as-sahu, after taslim, and then make taslim again. We got that? As for if he added, for example, the tashahud in the third rakah, the example that we have now, and he remembered, he's sitting there and making tashahud, and it's the third rakah. He's in dhuhr, or asr, or isha, in the third rakah, and he was supposed to stand up. Now, what will he do? He will stand up. He will leave the tashahud immediately. He will Allahu Akbar and go up, because that's what's incumbent upon him in this situation. So the one who adds something and he realized that he added it, and while he's adding it and in the addition, he realized that, he will leave that and he'll do what's required for him to do at that time. He'll leave that immediately and do what's required for him to do without adding anything or taking away anything from the prayer. And then he makes the salam, and then he makes the sujood as-sahw after the salam, and he makes salam again. That's how he deals with the addition that occurs while the one remembers that he made the addition while he's doing it. We understand? If he didn't remember until after he made the addition, then he makes the sujood after he made, after the prayer. Somebody informed him or he remembered after he's finished, then he just still makes the sujood and his prayer is good.
In this example, if I'm in the third rakah and I'm in the sajda and I come up and put in Allahu Akbar, and I shouldn't sit, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm doing tashahud.
Tashahud. So?
I said Allahu Akbar.
Oh, to come to the shahud, Abu Wa'il was right. Sahih. I got you. And then he sits there. So he made the takbir. So then he stands up without making takbir. I'm with you. Jazakallah khairan. No, Anna. That's right. Jazakallah khairan. Ahsan. So then he doesn't make the takbir. We fixed that. The first, what we said in the beginning was right. There's no takbir. You make no takbir. Yani he, because in the third raka, what did he do? He made takbir and then sat there for tashahud. So he's supposed to make takbir and stand up. So there he made the tashahud, and then he remembers that he's in tashahud. He leaves it without takbir. Jazakallah khairan. And he stands up. Because if he made takbir now, this is extra. So the ruling is that whenever one sees himself in a position, he added something to it, then he will go to this position he's supposed to be in without anything, without adding anything else. So he'll do it without making takbir. Naam.
What if someone adds, for example, they raise their hands in the salah, in a place where it's not recommended?
This is what we spoke about in the beginning. That this raising the hand is a sunnah. Raising the hands is a sunnah. There's no sujood as sahw for sunnah.
But not if it's left off. I'm saying if someone adds it to the prayer where it's not supposed to be.
For the sunnah, there's no sujood as sahw. If he's forgetful about something that's from the sunnah, there's no sujood as sahw. Only if he forgot a pillar or one of the wajib. So. Now we're talking about the addition. If you forgot the pillar, this is going to come, inshallah. No.
So what if you mistake and make Salatu Ibrahimiyya in the first
Tashahud? Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that it's okay to do that. It's okay to do that. We spoke about that in the beginning. If somebody brought a sunnah, if somebody didn't forgot a sunnah, for example, he doesn't make sujood. If somebody brought al-qawl al-mashru' fi ghayri mahallihi, if he brought a statement from the prayer, it's legislated in the prayer in the wrong place, he doesn't make sujood. You understand? So that statement there covers all of these answers. That statement there covers all these questions. Somebody who said a legislated statement from the statements of the prayer in the wrong place, while bringing what's required to bring in that place, he doesn't make sujood. You with me? As for if he didn't bring the obligations that's supposed to be there, this is called naqs. That's the next issue that we touch on, inshallah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.